Hi, Jenna. Hi, Jessica. Hey, everybody. It's good to see everybody. Give us a moment to get here. I know I added on this call, and it's not on our regular Mondays, so I'm trusting that whoever is meant to be here live will be here live. All right, so good to see those of you that are here. So, we're gonna spend the bulk of our time today in Q&A time. And I know some of you here have been with me for Q&A calls before. If you haven't, here's what I want you to know. I love Q&A calls. This is your opportunity to bring forward anything that you want to bring forward, whatever you need support on. So it can be related to what we've been looking at in navigating client resistance. If you want to bring forward a client case study that you want to take a look at more closely, if you want to bring forward some of your own resistance, we can look at more closely. But you can also bring other pieces in if you've got a question just in general on a client case study. This is a great opportunity. If you've got a business question, something related to your marketing or your offerings or your sales conversations, this is a great opportunity to do so as well. So we'll be spending most of our time today. Really having you lead and bring forward whatever it is that you want. And what I always like to say for Q&A calls is we're all going to use the law of adaptation. So what that means is that if you are listening to somebody else being coached, even if they're in a different place in their work, their practice, their business than you are, use the law of adaptation, see what applies for you. How can you apply it to yourself right now, to your work right now, to your client work right now? Before we get to the Q&A, though, I'd love to hear. Well, a couple of things. So first of all, I'd love to hear we're a nice intimate group today, so please participate. I'd love to hear what's been moving through you, either for yourself or for your clients, when it comes to resistance. What have you been seeing? What have you been noticing? Have you been applying what we've been learning, either to yourself or to your client work? What's been coming through? Anyone want to share? What are you seeing? What are you noticing?
I'll go first. Hi,
Monique.
Joanna. Hi, gang. So I find the writing letters to resistance super easy. This is what I've been doing for a long time. However, the last homework assignment you had given us about writing the point of view from the resistance to myself, that was not easy. It took me days and days, and I would sit there and try and write it, and I couldn't. And then finally, I think it was the day before the last class, as I'm falling asleep, it started to come in. And I was like, oh, there you are. But I'm asleep now. So I didn't quite remember it all, even though I kept telling myself, remember, remember when you wake up, remember, you're going to remember this when you wake up. So I just found that portion difficult.
And what do you think? So first of all, it's whatever the experience is, you know, it's what you need, right? And it sounds like you needed a little bit more time maybe to sink into it. So it's all good. What do you think? Had it take more time? Like, what do you think it was for you that you weren't able to lean in right away?
I don't know. I can easily say it was, I can say it out loud. However, I don't necessarily believe it. Yeah, it was a resistance. But no, it wasn't because I was sitting there to do the work. Well, okay, maybe I was just procrastinating. But no, because I was sitting there trying to do the work. So I was trying to get myself into the head of whatever archetype wanted to come through. And so maybe I just didn't know specifically which archetype it was, right?
Oh, well, okay. So that, I'm glad we're talking about it. So that is a possibility as well. If you weren't working with a specific archetype, it can be harder because it's a little bit, you know, sometimes it isn't harder and you know, you can just speak to resistance in
In
general and
general.
ask it. But oftentimes if you can name it a little bit more, then it's less nebulous. And it can kind of make the process go, you know, a little, I don't want to say quicker, but you know, it
Yeah.
just might drop in different timing. So even if you're not 100% sure, you know, what the archetype is, even if you have just like a vague sense of it, start to call it that and name it that. It's hard to make friends with something that doesn't have a name, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
so
you
true.
can, but the more that you can name it a little bit more, I think that is one piece in this that can really help.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah,
Thank you.
and since it did start to drop in, it's there now, right? So
Yeah.
come back to it and see what happens the next time you sit with it.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Who else? Anyone else want to share anything in regards to what you've been noticing with resistance as you've been working it with clients or applying it to yourself, the pieces that we've learned here over this last month? Yeah, is that Jen?
Hi.
Hi.
So this one applies to me. And this is a, oh, sorry, I just re-raised my hand. This is a resistance that I've had for years and years and really worked with it well on the practice call. I wish I think it was Carolyn. She was lovely. And still cannot get myself to put the action steps into motion. And the resistance has to do with physical movement and my health. And like even today, looking in the mirror when I was trying on some clothes, I'm like, yeah, this isn't what I want to experience. And yet there isn't enough there to push me forward. One of the beautiful things that my partner helped me recognize during our time together, because we spoke to that resistance, and there were a couple fears that came up, but one of them was that no matter how hard I work at it, it won't make a difference. And another one was that my resistance was really sad for me, because it was something else that I was having to manage with chronic illness. So I don't know. It's mind-boggling to me because, you know, I have the tools. I have it all there. I help others move forward, and yet there's just this block.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I just want to acknowledge, with chronic illness, that is can oftentimes be an added layer, and so just really want to honor you for all the ways that you're navigating through. Have you been coming back to the inner work since the practice session?
I've been honoring the sadness, but not much else. And I'm going to go ahead and just use the excuse of busyness of the long weekend and travel, which is always a great one because it's always going to be there. Oh, what's the next?
That's
What about this weekend? Oh, well, I'm traveling again. And this is one where I'm like, oh my gosh, this weekend, I really wish I had stronger arms. This weekend, I really wish I had stronger legs and a strong core. And I know I can't get there by this weekend. I'm going on a long hike with a family member, and it's just like sad. It's just sad.
Yeah, so okay, so there's a couple of pieces. So number one, it's great that you've been sitting just with the sadness, allowing yourself to feel it and be with it and be in the space with it. Because it, as you know, it needs expression and it needs support, all the pieces. So that might be something that you want to continue to do. And on, going further, I would recommend spending time every day with the resistance archetype. So, if you can, and this is for everybody, let's go back to, and those of you that have known me for a while, I keep on coming back to this. The difference between a breakthrough and a transformation is persistence and consistence. It's the same thing as like you go to the gym. You used to be able to only do 20 pounds, and then all of a sudden you're able to do 30 pounds. If you don't keep on going back with the 30 pounds, it might be, you're it's right. So that persistence and consistence is a big piece of, because you've had, what's the resistance archetype that you've been working with?
I think it's kind of a combination of victim procrastinator.
Yeah. So the victim procrastinator has been showing up in a particular way in your life for decades. And we're not working to get rid of it, by the way, right? We're working to shift the relationship with that one. And so one great session is awesome. It's like like the holes are being poked. Okay, there, like we can maybe have a different friendship here, but that's not enough to shift the friendship. So I recommend the being persistent and consistent with the connecting with it because it works on two levels. So the first is, as I've been mentioning over time, it really does shift the relationship. But the other reason is not always, but sometimes. In addition to that long-term relationship that we're going for, what we can do is connect in with the archetype, be friendly with it in the moment, and get just enough opening to take an action for that day, just for that day alone from that connection. Like it's just enough to like motivate us enough. Okay, I've already put effort into, the diet would, I'll make some movement time now, right? And then what happens is the next day that can happen again, but also because we've taken the action, then we're bringing more motivation into the next day, and so on and so forth. So it can snowball in a good way on itself as well. So I would really recommend committing to it. How does that land for you?
I mean, yes, logically, definitely. Yes. And now it's getting it to drop in and become, and that's what's going to take the persistence and the consistency. I always share with clients, intentional growth requires deliberate practice. So
Yeah, it's just that small steps. And even, I'm already looking at my ladder of steps, and I want to go from here to here, where I need to go
No
here
idea
to
what you're
here.
talking about. I've never
No, no one has
experienced that
ever.
before.
Yeah. So yeah, it's great. It's just I'm going to visualize, okay, I'm going to go up from the ground to the first rung, that rung to the next rung, maybe back down to the ground the next day. But then, yeah, it's just the, oh my gosh, just do it. But
Yes,
I hear
absolutely.
you, and I thank you for that. And I'm going to working on spending time and dropping it in and taking a small action a day.
That sounds great. And then last piece, practical. You know this, we all know this, but we all need reminders for ourselves, for our clients. Put it into your schedule. Don't leave it up to chance. Anything that I have resistance to, including doing the resistance work. If I leave it up to chance, it's like, oh, I was going to do it in the morning. I didn't get it to in the morning. I'll do it during lunch. Oh, I didn't do it during lunch. I'll do it in the evening. Right? And then it's just, yeah. So if we can create containers for it, it's not a guarantee, but it gives us a little bit more of a percentage of things happening.
Thank you for that. And thank you all for holding space for me there.
So Jessica's saying in the chat, this time in container has predominantly helped me through a very tough time of transition and transformation where lots of resistance came up to the point where I'm now comfortable showing up with more consistent visibility online. That's awesome, Jessica. Yay. Yeah, and Michelle is saying this is one of the reasons why it's so good to be in community around this because the sharing makes her more curious about that. And yeah, it's like we hear other people and then we can go deeper for ourselves. So, okay, I promised a little bit of teaching. I'm going to do just a couple of minutes and then we'll go into kind of more formal Q&A time. And what I want to look at today, for those of you that have been in Sacred Depths, you have learned this before, is a little, just a little look at some questioning skills pieces. So as we've looked at in the navigating client resistance process, we're really using so many foundational coaching skills. We're using energetics, we're using our deep listening skills, we're using our creating awareness skills, we're using questioning skills, we're using strategizing skills. We want all of those foundational skills in tip-top shape in order to bring clients through the process, because unfortunately there isn't just a one script. We're always meeting the client where they're at. And questioning is a big piece of the process. Now, there's a lot that goes into questioning. We spend a whole month on it in Sacred Depths, but there are two pieces that I wanted to underscore just for today, very briefly, that are good reminders when you're asking questions in this process and just in general. The first is, by and large, you want to avoid yes or no questions. There is a time for yes or no questions, and the best time to use yes or no questions is when a client is right at the edge of affirming something for themselves. They're right at the edge of a big yes or a big no. That is a really effective moment to ask a yes or no question. Except for that moment, we want to be asking more open-ended questions. Most practitioners know this. And yet, most practitioners, if you go back and listen to recordings of you coaching, you'll see that You probably ask yes or no questions at least 30% of the time, if not more. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that when it's not a moment of affirmation, an open-ended question is almost always going to be more empowering, allowing the client to dip more into their inner knowing, into their intuition, allow for more agency, etc. And I say this just so you know, not from a pedestal where I've perfected this. I am still catching myself, as I do it. So whether it's the part of the navigating client resistance process before you get to the somatics or in the somatic process, really watch that you're asking open-ended. So, for example, yes or no might be, do you feel that in your stomach? Or is the archetype saying that they're excited? Right? Those are yes or no questions. We want to avoid that. More open-ended, where in your body do you feel that? What is the wisdom that is coming through from the archetype, etc. Right, so let me pause there. Any thoughts or questions on that? When to use yes or no, when not to use. A great moment for a yes or no is like you're working with a client, whether it's resistant, well, we'll put it into the resistance process. Maybe you've gone through almost everything, you're in the strategizing portion of things, and you really see a client is ready to take action. So that's a great moment for a yes or no question. Are you ready to take that action? Are you willing to take that action? Etc. Sari.
Hi there, Joanna. I'm in a loud diner. I'm sorry ahead of time. But I really wanted to bring this question up. I have noticed myself bringing in yes or no question at a particular juncture, and I would love to hear what you have to say about this juncture. And it is when I notice, and I actually have two clients in particular coming to mind, when I notice that my clients find themselves unable to connect to their own body, especially. So I might start with an open-ended question like, where do you feel that? Or what is that experience like for you? And I'll notice, I'll use one client in particular to make it clear. I'll notice that he will either dramatically change the subject, but he seems to think he's answering, right? He seems to think that he's answering, and he won't say anything at all about the actual question that I asked. When I try to repeat the question, the same process happens over and over again. So, what would you recommend for someone who is clearly struggling with that level of connecting to their own inner knowing?
Yeah, I love that question. And actually, it's a version of resistance, what you're talking about, right? So we can use so much of what we've learned in this container. So, if we go back to what we've learned in this container, first of all, energetics, right? So you as the practitioner, not getting upset at the client, at yourself, or frustrated, or why can't they, approaching it with love, knowing that it's normal for resistance to come up for some people when they're connecting in with their body. And then from there, lovingly create awareness. So in a case like that, I would probably reflect, create the awareness lovingly by reflecting what I'm seeing. And instead of just trying to ask the question again and again, what I would say is, Sari, tell me if I'm getting this right. I notice that whenever we're about to go into, connecting more deeply with yourself and with your body, and I ask a question about it, you answer by blah blah blah, right? Whatever the kind of answer is, and that's completely normal. Remember, normalizing is part of the lovingly create. That's completely normal because so many of us were taught to be in our head, not to be in our body. I'm wondering if what I'm sharing, if you're seeing that too, now that I'm sharing it, right? And then from there, you can get into an exploration of why. Why do you think that happens for you? You know, what's the feeling that comes over you when I ask that question? Where do you notice you're going, right? So that you can bring even deeper awareness of the patterning around being resistant to going into the body.
So I've done all of those except for the why. And I love that step, the why, especially because I know that for this client in particular, he's going to really enjoy choosing to offer some analysis to it in that way. And then, you know, my sort of follow-up question is, well, so now he answers the why, and yet, this is just a guess, if I now go back and say, you know, okay, you know, maybe it's later in the session now, okay, where do you feel that in your body? Now we've had this conversation, okay, and I've got an anchor that I can rely back on. My instinct is that now I might be able, the second time it comes up, I might be able to work a little bit deeper with that resistance. Actually, I guess this isn't a question. My brain is answering it all for myself right now.
Yeah, I love it. So there's, and I'll just pull out a little more because it's such a, it's so rich, right? So first of all, yes. So you've got that anchor and you both have this shared understanding now, like this reference point. So one way to move forward is to go in, back in, and then if the resistance does come up again, you can refer back. You've got that anchor, right? And ask, like asked to kind of bypass and find it. So that's one strategy that I think is very, very, very worthwhile to try and see how it works. Another strategy, once you've kind of got that in place, is, and this goes, and I'm just gonna highlight a couple things. This goes into kind of different somatic, you know, strategies. But it's funny that you asked this on the yes or no question, because this is another place where a yes or no question can be really helpful. So you can come back in then and take it a little slower with the client and lead them a little bit more before they're ready to lead themselves more fully. And you can ask, you can guide them to a particular place in their body. So there's like a little practice, right? So sense into your stomach. How does it feel in your stomach? Doesn't matter how it feels or what the answer is, have them feel there. Sense into your heart area or your solar, or whatever you want to call it, right? Like solar plexus or heart. How does it feel in there? So give them two or three practices or reference points just to get them into their body. How does it feel in this place? How does it feel? And so it's not exactly yes or no, but you know, or no, you know, are you feeling excitement in this part of your body or whatever it is? And then once they have that practice and there's that opening, you've created awareness around, you know, all of that's in place, then you can say, okay, now sense into your full body. Where are you feeling? Whatever it is the topic is. So then you can kind of like, you can inch in there a bit more. Does that land?
That feels super important, Joanna. Thank you so much for bringing that element into it. This particular client, some clients, you know, I feel like they are genuinely dissociated and there's something to do with that. This particular client, I just know for sure that he actually can feel his body. He's been taught his whole life not to, right? So I love this answer. And I really appreciate too this element of, you know, I teach snowboarding. We talk about teaching progressive skills. And I appreciate that this technique is kind of like, you've just told me, hey, you know, teach your client in a progression, the skill of tuning into their body. That feels really honoring. Thank you so much for your answer.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great question. Jessica's asking in the chat, any tips for coaxing self into this shift from yes or no? I notice myself doing it a lot, but by then I'm already asking the question. It's so Great. Jessica, can you just come? I always like to see the person. I see you a little bit in the little thing on top, but just can you come and say hi?
Yes. Yeah. As soon as I wrote the question, I was like, oh, it's like an energetics thing. So,
well, so it can be a couple of things, right? So it could be an energetics thing. I'm glad that you're calling yourself out. So if it was an energetics thing for you, what's the energetics thing? What's the belief that you've got going on that's having you default into yes or no?
I was sitting with that, and I think it's like, I don't like being told what to do, which is so hilarious considering the topic. And it's like, because all coach trainings say you got to ask the open question, there's some like resistance of like, oh no, but I got this, like it's working the way that it is. And I ask it with an open heart, so it's okay. So
if I ask the yes or no question with an open heart, it lands as an open question. I love it. Okay, good. So just number one, just you naming it right and saying it here, I can tell you're already poking holes in it. And then from there, this can be helpful. So a couple of things to think about. Number one, before you go into a session, so even just based on what you've been sharing, before you go into any client session, have a little talk with yourself. It doesn't have to be more than a 30-second talk, and say, you know what, I love not following rules sometimes. I don't want to be told what to do. And I'm, you know, like I do my out of the box thing. And for this session, my intention is to be in service of the client's highest good. And so in the moments when an open-ended question is really going to serve my client more than me just needing to not follow the rule, I'm going to ask an open-ended question, right? So you can just kind of set that intention going into the session. And then this takes just a little tiny bit of time, but over a couple of practices, it can make a big difference. After your client sessions, Jessica, take a few minutes and review the session and find the places where you asked yes or no questions, and post-session, see if there was a better question to ask in that moment, and write it down. If you practice in that way, you'll just start more naturally defaulting to the whatever the most effective question is going to be in that moment.
That makes so much sense. Thank you. Yeah. It's going to be really helpful.
Good. Good. I'm so glad. All right, who else? What, you know, open question, speaking of open-ended questions, open question time. What can I help you with? What client case studies do you have? What business pieces do you have? What do you need help with? What can I support you with? Who's got a cue?
I got another question for you, Joanna.
Yeah.
Imposter syndrome. We've all dealt with it at some point in our lives. And I was curious, is that a symptom of an archetype, or do you think imposter syndrome is its own archetype? And then another layer to that would be, I kind of find that self-sabotage and imposter syndrome are kind of linked together. But again, I think self-sabotage can also be a symptom of any other archetype. And so I guess I was curious, what would the higher vibration of self-sabotage be?
The higher vibration. Well, let me go in order. So so first of all, always coach the what based on the who. And for each individual, it might be something different. But overarchingly, if a client can name that they have imposter syndrome, then we're out of the realm of resistance, usually, and more in the realm of a core fear. So if you remember usually the resistance activities, they're good, legitimate reasons that wrap themselves around so we can't see what the actual fear is. Like, oh, that Netflix show looked so good, or oh, I couldn't because whatever it is. But if you with a client can name that they have a fear of being an imposter, that they're scared that others are going to perceive them as an imposter, then usually that's we're in more okay. This isn't like a resistance that's diverting away from the core fear, and there might be a fear even underneath that, that you want to take a look at. Okay, so what are you scared is going to happen if people think you're an imposter, whatever it is, and then work with it that way. So, does that answer your first question? Okay, good. Yes, self-sabotage is. Can be any of the resistance archetypes and any of the fears can create self-sabotage for sure. I have many different resistance archetypes and fears that create self-sabotage for me. And then what was the last question? The higher vibration.
Yeah, because I remember in one of the classes we were, there's the extreme. You're on each side of it, and I don't want to say positive and negative side of it, but I was trying to figure out, okay, well, I know what self-sabotage is doing to us negatively, but what would the positive aspect of that be? Like, what is it trying to really teach us or show us?
Okay, so it's a little bit different than what we were looking at because we were looking at the higher and lower level of the archetypes. But let's put self-sabotage into an archetype for a moment. Like we can call it the saboteur. So I'll ask you intellectually, we'll see if an answer. And so everybody's is going to be different, right? Again, always coach the what based on the who. But if your inner saboteur had a higher purpose, what would its purpose be?
Well, I think right off the top of my head, it would just be protection.
And so then, what would be possible if you were to not hate on your saboteur, but really honor it? And acknowledge it for how fiercely it is to pr if how fierce it is in protecting you and how committed it is. Is it possible that it might? Well, let me ask you. I was about to ask a yes or no question. Did you guys notice? Is it possible that? What do you sense would be possible if you really honored that saboteur for its superpower of protection?
I'm hearing you. So self-sabotage, I don't think that, I shouldn't say that. I guess we all do it in some way, shape, or form. But I feel like this is a hot topic around me and several friends. And so no one's got an answer for it. So I'm seeing myself and I'm seeing another friend in particular. And everyone's in denial of self-sabotage. No one wants to believe that they would ever self-sabotage themselves, ever, ever, ever. No, I would never do that. But I know, like, yeah, there's a little bit of self-sabotage in there. So I know how to make friends with it, but I don't know how to communicate that to others. So to poke the holes for them. And so I don't even know how to answer that question right now. And I don't know if that's another layer of resistance or protection.
Yeah, so I'm noticing that I asked the question about you and you're answering about your friends. What do you think that's about?
Well, I knew when I came into the question that it was multi-layered question. It wasn't just me, it was a bunch of people. that I want to explore this a little bit further, this topic conversation a little bit further. So when you're asking me, I feel like, okay, well, I've already kind of poked the holes in that. I kind of know that for myself, but now I'm trying to answer it as if I were still in it, still deep in it from the perspective of, you know, somebody else in my life. Like, how would they, if they're in denial of it, if they're not accepting of it, if they haven't named it and claimed it yet,
well, how can they truly? You wouldn't, right, because you wouldn't ask the question I just asked of you to someone before you've poked the hole. So you'd want to do the work that we looked at to poke the holes first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, you totally answered the question. Yeah, protection. And you just work backwards from there once you can name it.
Yeah, nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Joe.
Oh, hi, Joanna. Yeah, I'd like help with a client I've been working with since January, who's definitely the victim archetype. Her story to me is incredible because her husband robbed banks and the FBI were at the house and then they got divorced and then he didn't pay ever any alimony and then she moved from Arizona to California and then the roof fell in on her, all this stuff that to me is just like an incredible story. But I feel like I don't know, I can't claim to know about trauma. I really don't. I've just tried to read things about it, but I would assume she, you know, is suffering from trauma from what I've read. And she says, like, you know, she's exhausted all the time and she just has very like visceral reactions to things, to particularly to people. Her ex-husband is in her life, she's avoiding him as much as possible, but she hates that. And she's like, for example, she's working at Costco now as a samples person. And I'm seeing in the last few weeks, she's managed to get herself other jobs as demo, like better paid jobs doing demo work. And so I see like a change starting to happen, which is great. But I also see she's still like, you know, like at Costco, she thinks the supervisor is picking on her and she had to re-sign a lease and she thinks the woman's making it as difficult as possible to her. So, you know, it's not like it's going away. She's going to see herself always as a victim. And I would really like to help her, but I'm not feeling like I'm doing such a great job. But I know she definitely, I know having me to speak to every week is, I know that's like massively helping her, but if you have anything to offer on how to help, I'm trying not to be in the pool, obviously, but there's part of me thinking these are all terrible events that have happened.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, yeah, even just you sharing a little bit about, you know, some of the details, it sounds like she's had a lot going on and you mentioned trauma and it may be that there is trauma there that still needs to be unpacked. So, you know, as I mentioned, I think in our first class, when we work with clients with resistance, if they just keep on getting pulled back and keep on getting pulled back, if they're not able to make any progress at all, that can be an indicator that there is trauma that wants to be processed, which is out of our scope, or I should say my scope as a practitioner. You know, and that's when I know, okay, it's might be a good idea to work in tandem with a therapist, because there's just the response is so strong, you know, and they need that kind of support. So that's one thing I'll offer.
Yeah.
To think about, you know, and part of our work as coaches is to make recommendations if we sense a client could be valuable for them to also work with a therapist or someone that, you know, trauma is in their scope or any other kind of, you know, expert or practitioner. So that's one piece. It's just because she's been, it sounds like a lot of really big things if she hasn't really processed them. That can be really helpful. And then in addition to that, what I heard you say twice, Joe, is that you see that she's making progress. And So, you know, I think Jen was saying earlier, like, we want to go from here to here in a day, all of us do. And we want it for our clients too, right? Like, who doesn't? And then there's real life where it usually isn't like that. And so, really acknowledging and honoring and celebrating the small steps and supporting your client. Oftentimes we can see forward progress that our client can't. And so creating awareness, celebrating, you know, supporting our clients to see the progress that they're making, and not just giving it lip service, but having them feel in their bodies that sense of, even if it's tiny little baby steps, that sense of forward movement, that can sometimes help propel more forward movement or motivate towards more. So if you're not already really creating awareness and celebrating with her the ways that she is moving forward, I would also focus on that. And then see if you can, either on your own or together, pinpoint what's allowed her to make those small moves forward, and then go deeper in those directions.
Yeah, that's so good, because I have pointed them out, and she does tend to laugh them off and go straight into another story of something that's not working. But yeah, that would be so good to pinpoint, you know, what's kind of driving that. How did she? Yeah, I didn't do that, so that will be a good thing. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in Sacred Depths, we go deep into the skill of celebrating. And one of the things we look at is that oftentimes, like you're saying, clients are uncomfortable with acknowledging themselves. And so they're different. We don't have time to, but there are different skills and like different little techniques. You know, at least start thinking on your own, like, how can you hold that space for her to not just laugh it off, but to take it in a little more deeply?
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Kim is saying in the chat, I've stepped away from yes or no questions, but have replaced it with an either or question instead. I think I do this because I'm uncomfortable with the silence that ensues with open-ended questions or the uncertainty that comes. So I ease my discomfort by giving them options, my options. I want to see you on the screen, Kim, because I love how you're calling yourself out.
I just came down with COVID last night, so
I'm so sorry. I hope you're feeling okay.
But I just didn't want to. I don't want anyone to.
When I had COVID, I didn't want anyone to see me either. I completely understand. So, Kim, I love that you are really seeing this and you know, seeing what's going on there with the either or. It's a nice sneaky way around the yes or no.
I've gone from one, you know, one option for them, yes or no, to two options. Should I give them?
Yes, okay. You know, so you're making progress.
You feel it in your heart or in your gut, you know. I'm avoiding, you know, the don't do this kind of, you know, yes or no, but I haven't extended myself into a really, really open-ended way.
What are you noticing with the either or questions? How are your clients responding?
They'll pick from my options, you know, pretty well. But I feel like that's because that's what I'm giving them. I'm not allowing enough space. And I guess I'm wondering, because I keep noticing that I do it, and I really try when I've noticed it to then shift into an open-ended question. But it's my discomfort that I'm noticing more so than theirs. Often it takes more time, for them to either grapple with the question. Maybe my question isn't clear enough, or they don't know quite how to process it yet. So it takes more time, and I just want to help them. I think that's really, I'm just trying to get them to have some movement. So it's, I don't know, it's kind of weird that way, but.
Yeah, no, not weird at all. So first of all, I'm hearing a lot of forward progress. First of all, you've moved from yes or no to either or. I hear that you're calling yourself out. You know, you're aware of it a lot of times when it happens, like as it's happening. Mm-hmm. And even sometimes you're redirecting to an open-ended question. Am I getting that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so that's huge right there. It sounds like you're eventually getting to the open-ended.
Well, eventually, unless the either or kind of gets them started and they take themselves to more information, which, you know, then I don't push myself on them, but yeah.
Okay, yeah, there's room for improvement, but I'm just pointing out that there's, right, like there, I think their movement has been happening there for you. So tell me if I'm getting this right, but as you were just speaking before, what I heard is a little bit of a belief that, because you said, I just want to be able to help them. So I think what I heard, Kim, is a little bit of a belief that if somebody doesn't answer a question right away, or if they even struggle a little bit to know the answer, that it means that you're not helping them.
Yeah, I think there's that. I think it means that I've not given them something that allows them to find their next awareness, you know, that it's me. And if I, yeah, I'm sure that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you're kind of setting a really tough situation up for yourself where unless someone answers a question right away, it means that you're doing a bad job. Mm-hmm. What do you actually know to be true about silence? Or human beings even struggling a little to answer a question? What's the higher truth there?
That, at least for me, I find some real honest and authentic element if I have enough time. And I'm not sure why I don't trust that for my clients. It goes back probably to some equal playing field kind of thing that I assume that they expect me to help them get there faster.
Yeah. Well, get there faster. And then tell me if I'm getting this right, but I think you're making an assumption that answering a question quickly means getting to what they want faster.
Yeah, it's more about, I think, discomfort with the silence or not knowing that does say something about me, rather than just allowing that to be true, that that's okay, or something to not be known yet.
Yeah. Yes. What's the benefit of not knowing something yet?
Well, the thing that comes to my mind immediately, maybe that's, I want the immediate thing, but is that all possibilities are still there when you don't know. Lots of things are still possible. Whereas when you know, you've come down on one side of a fence or something, you've made a choice, a claim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it might be that, you know, if this happens a lot with your ideal client, it might be that there's some kind of fear there for folks in making some choices. So that's just possibly a good thing to know about your ideal client, a place to work. But that's almost like a little bit of a diversion, but just saying that as a side note. Are there any other benefits to not knowing right away, or what are other benefits to not knowing right away?
I guess
I heard you say something a few minutes ago, so I'm fishing a little. I'll just remind you of it if you don't come.
Well, what I was going to say is, I guess it allows you to be with the question more deeply longer if you don't know. A
Yeah, and
little.
along with that, I heard you say a few minutes ago, there's something about finding a truth.
And that goes towards something that I'm, that's related to this, that I'm looking for the right answer that I'm looking for. And sometimes I think I equate the right answer with truth, and they're not always the same.
Oh, I get chills when you say that, Kim. I think this right here, what we're talking about, is like a pathway to your next level as a practitioner. This whole conversation, you have all of the awarenesses that I think you need around it, Kim. Now it's just about leaning into your discomfort more in the waiting. But what you just said, I think, is so profound. And this is like for all of us here as practitioners to not be looking for the right answer. I put it in air quotes. I feel like that's how but looking for the true answer.
Thank you. That's super helpful. I'll hold on to that for a while.
Good. I hope you
Thanks.
feel better.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right, we're almost at 4, but I'll take Agnes if it's a quickie. I'll take it. I do have to get my daughter from school in a little bit. Agnes.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Thank you. So my question, since I'm a newbie to this somatic process, what's the worst case scenario that can happen? I mean, if a client says that they are ready to go into the process, and then I sense that they are maybe not so ready. So, I mean, when we are during the process, is there something potentially harmful that I must be mindful of? So, is there something that can go very wrong with that? Something that comes in mind too.
No. I mean, I think that so there's a couple there's you want to keep some things in mind. So as we looked at in the program, you always want to ask permission.
Of course.
You always want to give full agency, allow, we don't give agency to allow for a client's full agency. You want to invite them to close their eye. You want to ask, things like that. Ask them to feel comfortable to go deeper. Do they feel comfortable connecting in with their body? Right. So all of those pieces are really important pieces. And then when a client, I mean, one worst case scenario is like what Sari was saying, they just don't
They
want to
just say
connect
yes.
in. And then, I don't, I think this is what you're getting at. I wouldn't call this a worst case scenario, or something to worry about, but my sense is like in your question is like, what if they get overwhelmed by emotion? What if
That's
they,
what I mean. So,
right? So, yeah, so if you sense a client is just overwhelmed by emotion and you don't feel comfortable with that, then you just bring them back to their head. You have them ground, feel their body, feel their seat. They can tap and then ask them an intellectual question, something that engages their mind. But if you're asking permission each step of the way and you're tracking, each moment, it is gonna be very, very, very rare that someone will get, so overwhelmed by emotion will come up, but if you're tracking it, it's and know, okay, this is as far as we're gonna go. I don't see it as a worst case scenario.
Yeah, okay, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. So nothing really dangerous can come up. Well, if there's some trauma in the case, you know, then it can be that something very emotionally challenging will come up, or some kind of memory. But then we can go.
If a memory comes up where a trauma, you know, response was created, mm-hmm. you're not going to go into that memory. You know, if a client happens to share, this happens, you honor them, you acknowledge them, mm-hmm. ask them to open their eyes, but you're not going to ask more about the memory. You're not going to go deeper, yeah. right? Like that's not in the scope. We're not. Mm-hmm. Going to go into those memories. That's not in the scope.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
You're welcome. All right. This hour went by so quick. It's good to see all of you and to be with you. I'm around. If there's anything that you need, just let me know. There's a couple more days left on the special rate for Sacred Depths. It's good until Friday. A lot of you have been reaching out. If you haven't yet and you've been interested, please reach out. We'd love to talk to you. And I'm wishing you a wonderful rest of your day. Bye.